it's the rain or if they didn't have enough steel toes on this morning. But it is good to see everyone here. And I had to run from the car, and I don't run well.
I hope the security cameras help
you. Well, so I'm going to try to sing. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If you would, get your book and turn to page 359. Page 359. Let's stand if you would, please. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. Well, I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning, yes, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. All right, that's good. That's good. You know now, you know, no. What are you doing? I didn't tell you to be seated. What kind of a... I'm having enough trouble. Now you can stand with me. Now, if you want to sit down, you can, but let's sing one more stand up. Now, I may let you sit down. Now, you know, if we'll lean, and folks, I don't care to tell you, this past year I've needed something to lean on. And it's been good to know that I could lean on the everlasting arm. But you know, there's been times, Brother Lynn, I've needed to know that I was whole, that I had a hold of someone. And this next one says, hold to God's unchanging hand. So I don't care about you. It's like Brother Nick said this morning, I love coming here. This blessed God's a refuge for me. There's enough hell on the outside. I like a little heaven on the inside, don't you? All right, give me a minute, honey. Give me a little interlude there and we'll start it. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hope to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, oh, just get a little closer to Him, it says. Still more closely to Him cling. Don't you like that? Let's go. Here we go. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Will hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Will hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold God's unchanging hand. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now if you'll lean and you'll hold, I'll give you this promise from God. It'll be wonderful there. Paul says, nothing down here will compare with the glory over there. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath in store for everybody. No, for them that love Him, blessed God. This world's going to find out they better be the ones that He loves. That's all I got to say about that. All right. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful then? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful then? Won't it be wonderful then? Having no burdens to bear, joys we sing, harp bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful then? There where the tempest will never be sweeping, won't it be wonderful then? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joys we sing, harp bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Thank you so much. Let me make just a few, one announcement that I want to make. I don't know, I guess y'all heard David Burleson passed away, and I'm assuming my brother's going to let me know. I'm assuming that funeral will be probably either Tuesday or Wednesday night at Grace. And some of us, if it is Wednesday night, I would certainly be there. His family has meant a lot to my family over the years. Y'all can remember Mike came here on and off, and David was his oldest brother, and he's had a terrible time with diabetes, and it finally took him on out of here. So something's going to take us out of here, right? Well, we want to make sure something's going to take us there. Yeah.
I don't care what takes me out. I want what's going to take me there. All right. Let's remember next Sunday night we will be going to the revival out at Grace. It's an outdoor. I'm assuming if it's not like tonight, if it's like tonight, I'll meet here. They can meet there. I don't do outdoors in the rain very good. But as far as I know, that'll be next Sunday night. And then it goes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So if you want to go, you can. You have to take your own chair with you, a lawn chair. If anyone has an extra one, I could use one. My wife says I could go to Big Lots and get one. And I think Nick was wanting me to go to Academy and get a rocker. I want a $10.99 special because this is just once a year. I may see if Les has got an extra one. I think he bought me one last year, so I'll see if he's still got it. But remember that. Remember our pastor. He should be on the way back, and pray for him. Any outspoken requests you want to make before we pray? Yes. All right. Now, that thunder you hear is not coming from the Sunday school class. That is coming from the outside. So, any others? Yes, honey. You know, yep. You know, God likes it when he gets you up from being lame and you go into the church skipping, jumping, and praising him. That's what we need to do, folks. We need to come in here praising him a little bit more. I'll guarantee he's done something for you this week. I don't know what, but you do. He's done something for us. We ought to be coming in here praising him. Any others? Yes, honey. God does, and that's all that counts, honey. All right, honey. Yes. Any others? Yes. 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 All right. Yes. Yes. Please remember, Sydney. Father, so good that you've let us come back tonight. And Lord, it might be storming on the inside, but I feel peace in the valley in here. I can't wait to hear your word tonight. Lord, I know without a doubt in my mind and my heart tonight that I have your arm to lean on. Oh, as Brenda said, she's needed it. Well, I have too, Lord. And I imagine about everyone in your house. I'm glad, oh God, that I hold to a hand that doesn't change. You said, I am the Lord, I change not. My word is forever settled in heaven. There is no variance in me. Oh God, help us just to live daily in honor of you, upright before you in this godless world in which we live, looking for the appearing and coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for all these requests, Lord, I ask you to touch them as only you can. Oh, it's good to know that we can bring them to you. But, oh God, may we not forget that when you answer to come into your house and say thank you. Now, Father, being everything that's done here tonight, may it be for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you singing tonight? No. Okay. Are you preaching tonight?
I will.
Well, honey, I want you to come on sing.
I'm sorry I asked.
Well, I like it better when I have a...
select.
Yes, you want to sing with me? I guess not. I can't get anybody to sing with me. Okay, this song right here. Anybody go to the mall, not the mall, the fair last week? And guess what? There was somebody there that I would have liked to have seen. So instead, I didn't get to see him, so I'm going to sing a song. So, Zach Williams, yeah. And Jessie was supposed to be Dolly, but she hadn't practiced, so she said she wasn't going to do it with me. So she did it last time. But this is, and there'll be some spaces that's not filled because that would be Jessie. Okay, so hopefully I can sing it.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall. And all these lonely roads that I have traveled, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried.
First heard this song, which is when it first came out, I said, that's my life. That is my life.
And he was there. I didn't see it sometimes, but I'm so thankful that he revealed that and himself to me. Amen. Jesus was there, and he still is, by the way, every single minute.
There is another mic. Wait a minute, let me see.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready? Okay.
I'm not. tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so.
Now it really does.
First Kings chapter 18, if you brought your Bible. It was beautiful singing. Pam did a great job this morning, did another wonderful job tonight, and then the kids did a good job. And you know, they say every group has that one person that gets the group in trouble, and I think it's going to be Addie. I think Addie's going to get the group in trouble, but appreciate the church letting him sing, and that's something they wanted to do. Kanan left church this morning saying he wanted to sing tonight when he came to church, so that's wonderful. I know Lacey and Dustin's proud, and I know we're all proud, and the church is proud, and it's great to see young people excited about God, and when us older people, never thought I'd throw myself in the older people crowd, and when us older people start seeing people excited about God, us older people get a little bit more excited too. So it all goes hand in hand, and I really appreciate the church letting the kids do that. And they're getting more and more confident every time, you can tell. They're wanting the mics, they're wanting to sing louder. And Tom hit the nail on the head. It does say in the Bible that you can dance to praise the Lord, and that's what Addie was doing. She was just dancing to praise the Lord, all right? But 1 Kings chapter 18, it is good to see this number out tonight. And we have a number for the month of September. The last three Sundays, the month of August, we averaged 75 on Sunday morning. So the month of September, the goal's 90. Okay? And if that happens, Dan, I talked to Dan. He was about 2 hours outside of Knoxville, or on his way home. And I was talking to him, you know, and they was talking about it was raining and stuff. And I had this funny thing go through my head. He said, yeah, when I get back Monday, I got to take my car to get the brakes checked on it. My car's got 99,000 miles on it, and the brakes have never been checked. And the only thing I could think about was Rusty being with him, because Rusty went with him down there. And just see Rusty's face hearing that as it's raining and storming outside. The brakes ain't been checked, and the car's got 99,000 miles on it. So Rusty said he was praying all the way home, all right? But that was a fun story to share. But just so you know, Tom, Dan has volunteered you. Yes, he has. He's volunteered you.
My dad told me when I went to war, don't volunteer for
me. Okay. All right. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you brought your Bibles with you tonight, and we're just going to pick up here. We'll go through some of the whole chapter, starting in verse 21. But I just want to read verses starting in verse 30 for you. And the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.
And he said, do it the second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. Anthony, I'm going to ask you to pray for me tonight, buddy. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Anthony. And the thought that God has laid upon my heart and upon my mind tonight is, it's time we repair the altars of God. It's time we repair the altars of God. And a good friend sent that to me in a text message, said, message alert. And I was reading and studying on it, and I've been waiting for God to give me permission to preach it, because I don't want to preach anything without God's permission. Because I can assure you, if I get up here and preach something without God's permission, it's going to be miserable on everybody here, okay, including the man that's preaching it. So I've just been waiting on God to give me the go-ahead on it, and tonight's the night He's chose to do that. But if you read right here in God's holy word, Elijah is in a contest with the prophets of Baal. He is in a contest with Ahab. He is in a contest over whose God is going to answer a prayer. And if you look here in verse 21, the Bible says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long shall you be between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now I love verse 21, because Elijah gets up in front of all these people and he's basically saying, hey, if my God is the Lord, everybody needs to follow Him. But if Baal is God, then we're all going to follow Him. And I love the last few words of that verse. And the people answered him not a word. They were already doubting Baal. The contest hadn't even started yet, and they already had doubts. Listen, if they had confidence, if they had belief in the God that they were worshiping, they would have been, all right, let's do it. Let's take this challenge head on. I'm excited. I'm fired up. Kind of like football teams when they take the field and stuff. They have a competition out there to see who's going to win. Nobody just walks out there with their head down thinking they're going to lose. Everybody walks out there, they're excited to take the football field because they want to see who's going to win. Well, we can see the prophets of Baal right here. They're not even excited about this competition. Bless God, I'm excited about the competition tonight. And the reason that I'm excited about the competition tonight, bless God, is because we've already won. All we got to do is live, hallelujah. All we got to do is be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him, hallelujah. And that Him is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That Him is God. That Him is the Holy Spirit. So praise God. When we are in a competition with the devil, when we are in the fight with the devil, and that can come in many different disguises. That can come in the disguise of a co-worker. That can come in the disguise of somebody in the family. That could come as a disguise as somebody you meet on the side of the street or something like that. Somebody within your own family, I don't know. But when we come up against competition against Satan, hallelujah, are you not glad that we can go into battle with confidence, hallelujah? Because the battle is not ours. The battle is God's, and God's already won, praise God. So we can go into competition with confidence. Listen, the children of God should not be walking around defeated. Because if we walk around defeated and people look at us that are not saved and people look at us that don't go to church, they're going to think, well, man, alive, they're the most miserable person I've ever seen, and they go to church and they're saved. Why would I want to do that? We ought to be the most excited, happiest people on the face of the earth. Now that don't mean we ain't going to have bad days, and that don't mean we ain't going to have days where we put our heads down. I understand that. I understand life, and I understand that things happen that get us down, that get us discouraged, that get us whipped. But bless God, hallelujah, every time that there's a storm that comes, every time that there's a trial that comes, just as Jesus did when He went up to the mountain to pray after He had fed the thousands of people. He went away to get by Himself for a while. He went and prayed and talked to God, and the disciples were out on the boat, and a great tempest came, a great storm came. In the midst of the storm, bless God, here come Jesus out walking on the water. So even in the storms of life that we face, we can still be happy, we can still be excited, we can still rejoice, because we know our Master is going to come out walking on the water. Hallelujah. We know that He will. So they're not even excited about the competition. Man, I'm excited about the competition. Verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even only I, remain a prophet of the Lord. He's the only one there representing the one and true God, Jehovah. You ever been in a place where you was the only person there representing God, representing Jehovah? I don't know if I have. But I know I have walked into some conversations, or I have walked into some places at work, or I've walked into an area of a restaurant, and there was just an unpleasantness or an uneasiness there, and you just felt like, man, I'm the only believer right here. And I don't mean that judgmental. I don't want it to come across that way. But sometimes in life, you feel like you're outnumbered as a child of God. Well, Elijah's outnumbered here physically. He's going up against 450 prophets of Baal, and he is the only prophet there that is there to represent God. But then I got to thinking about that. Anybody, and I promise, I'm a movie person. I love to watch movies. Who in here has ever watched The Hunger Games? Okay. Do y'all know that saying in The Hunger Games, the odds are always in your favor? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Can I tell you right now, bless God, that as a child of God, the odds are always in your favor? It don't matter how many people you come up against. I don't care if you're up against 450 prophets of Baal. I don't care if you're up against Satan himself. I don't care if you're up against his demons in the day and the time that we're living in. I don't care if you're outnumbered at work. Young people, I don't care if you're outnumbered on the ball team that you're on or the band that you're in or anything like that. I don't care what situation you get in. When a child of God is physically outnumbered, bless God, hallelujah, spiritually they've already won. Listen, God Himself is greater than Satan and all the demons that He's got. Jesus Himself is greater than all the Satan and demons that He's got. The Holy Spirit is greater than Satan and all the evil forces that He has in this world. So can I say, as the children of God, the odds are always in our favor, bless God. Always in our favor. Not because of us, but because of God, okay? I want everybody to know that and understand that. Then Elijah said unto the people, I, even only I, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. So here's the challenge, Elijah says. Give us two bullocks. You choose one for you all. I'm going to choose one for myself. We're going to cut it up into pieces, and we're going to lay it on the wood. And we're going to put no fire under it. Now it's important to remember, there's a drought going on at this time. In God's holy word, there's a drought going on due to Israel's disobedience and things like that. So there is a drought going on at this time. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So everybody agreed to the rules of this contest. Everybody agreed to the rules. We're going to get two bulls. We're going to kill them. We're going to cut them up into pieces. We're going to offer them up on the altar. And whichever altar catches on fire, that's who the true living God is. Everybody has agreed to the rules here. I'm going to tell you something. God has rules. He does. Tom touched on this on Sunday school. And he put it in a way that I've never heard it before, but it's right. It's 100% right. Grace is what's getting us to heaven. The blood's what's getting us to heaven. But just because we've got the grace and just because we got the blood doesn't mean we can go out and live however we want. God has a law that we've got to follow that He expects us to meet. And when we don't meet it, we're to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. So be careful how we state that sometimes. We don't want to say we're completely oblivious to the law or anything like that. We're not. When we say that, what we mean is we wasn't good enough to keep the law and we're dependent on Jesus to get us there. But not only are we dependent on Jesus to get us to heaven, I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit to help me live a Christian life. I can't live a Christian life. I tried. I failed. Adam and Eve couldn't live a Christian life. They tried. They failed. You go through God's holy word, you're going to find everybody that failed trying to live a Christian life but one, and His name is Jesus, bless God. He came into this world and He sinned not. And I don't think we give Jesus enough credit for that. It's hard in the day and the time. It's hard in the world with what the devil has to throw at you and things like that. Him trying to get God's children to sin. But man alive, Jesus lived a holy and perfect life. Thank God for the holy Lamb of God. Thank God for the Lamb without blemish. Since He was the Lamb without blemish, I was a lamb full of blemishes, but His blood got rid of all of them. But we still got rules, we still got laws we got to follow. The devil's trying to get us all to break the rules. The devil's trying to get us all to color outside the lines and things like that. Listen, God's got lines. Let's not cross them. Hallelujah. He's got lines He wants us to live by. He's got commandments. He's got statutes He wants us to live by. Let's not cross them. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. It was up to the God, or gods in their case, to send the fire. Let me say something about that. I hope that when I preach, now I get excited. Well, that's my personality. You ask Lene, when I watch Tennessee on TV, I don't even sit down the whole time. I act like I'm coaching the ball game, like I got a headset on. I do. I get wound up. I get excited. So a lot of it is my personality. But I hope and pray that when I get up here and preach God's holy word, that the fire ain't coming from me, but the fire is coming straight from God. Because if the fire is coming from me, that's nothing but a show. I don't want it to be a show. I want it to be sincere, straight from the heart, straight from the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't want you all to say this, and I've ran into this before. Man, preacher got excited yesterday morning. Preacher got excited last night. What did the preacher say? I don't ever want to get so caught up in being a ball of fire, spit fire, or whatever, that we don't take to heed the words that God's given as well. Okay? So, and we all got, our personality comes out. Lord knows Tom's personality comes out when he teaches Sunday school, all right? Dan's personality comes out when he preaches. My personality comes out too. But when the fire comes out, I want that to be the fire of God, not of Nick Kaubach, all right? I hope that made sense. All right, verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given to them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, putting every ounce of energy they've got into praying to Baal. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're praying to the wrong person, I don't care how much energy you put into it. Ain't nothing going to happen. That's what's going to happen right here. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar, which was made whole. I want to stop right there for a second. First of all, there was no voice. They heard nothing from this false god that they were worshiping. Are you not thankful that when we pray and talk to God, we can just hear His voice talking to us sometimes? Thank God for it. Nor that they answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And then in verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. I love this. He's mocking them. And he's not making fun of them. He's making fun of Baal. He's making fun of this false god. What does he say? He says, and Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for He is a God. Cry a little louder. He's a God. He will hear you. Either He is talking, either He's in communication with somebody else. And I got a humorous thing that came to my mind when I talked about this. Lene is amazing. She can carry three conversations at one time. She can talk to three different people at one time. You do that to me, I don't know what's being said anywhere. I can't hardly keep one conversation going. I think that's a woman's superpower or something. I don't know. Can have three conversations going on at one time. But Elijah is making fun of their God. Either he's talking to somebody else, he's too busy. And that got me to thinking about something. Are you not thankful that while God's talking to somebody else, he's still got time to talk to you? Are you not thankful while God's trying to put out a situation over here, trying to help a Christian over here? Bless God, he's so powerful and he's so much God that he can take care of you at the same time. Hallelujah. He's never too busy for his children, bless God. And you talk about people that's got a full plate. We all get a full plate from time to time. Ain't nobody got a fuller plate than God does. Think about all the Christians around the world that are praying and talking to God. And you know what? The plate ain't too big for him. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's God. That's the only thing you need to know. I could give you some type of theological deep answer on that, but the best thing I can tell you is he's just God. Hallelujah. He can take care of all of it. I've lost my place. He's on a journey. He's away. Can't get in touch with him. Man alive. I'm thankful that my God's never went on a journey away from me. He's always stayed within distance. He's always stayed within voice distance. He's always stayed within prayer distance. In other words, I'm thankful that God has never abandoned me. I've gave him plenty of reasons to go on a journey away from me, but you know what? He hadn't, bless God. And hallelujah, I can raise my hand and thank him for that, and I think you all can tonight. He's on a journey, a pre-adventure. He is asleep. Now, we need sleep. I'm somebody, I need 9 hours. If I don't get 9 hours, I am a bear, an absolute bear. I'm somebody, I'll fall asleep. If I sit in a recliner, I'm done. I fall asleep. That's just the personality I am. When I go home from work, I got to get to work and I got to get to doing something. Lene can go on 4.5, 5 hours sleep. I couldn't function like that. There ain't no way in the world I could function like that, but she can. Elijah's making fun of Baal here. Well, he must be asleep. Our God ain't never slept a day in his life because he don't have to. Why? Because he's God. Hallelujah. He don't need to sleep. We need to sleep, but he don't. And must be awaked. Y'all going to have to wake him up. He's asleep. I never have to wake my God up. He's always awake. Hallelujah. And they cried aloud. So now they're in a tizzy. They're really upset now. They are in a tizzy. They cut themselves with knives and lancets till blood gushed out upon them. So in other words, they were offering themselves up as a sacrifice so that Baal would answer. The bull wouldn't work, so they were going to offer up themselves. And how disappointed that they had to be that the prophet Baal, the false god Baal, was not answering. In verse 29, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. So nothing, absolutely nothing happens. Then we get to Elijah's sacrifice. Let me say something about these prophets of Baal right here. You can correlate this to the lost. The lost are in this world. They're living in this world. But as far as anything happening in their lives, there might be a lot of things happening in their lives, but spiritually, there ain't nothing happening in their lives. That's a sad way to look at it. That's why it's important that we reach out to the lost. They might feel like they got a lot of things going on in their life. Well, I'm in college, or I've got a great career. I've got a family. I've got 3 kids. I've got 4 kids. I've got a nice home. I've got a fancy car. I've got this. I've got that. I've got everything. Well, that's good, but what do you got spiritually? What do you got spiritually? Spiritually, they're bankrupt. So you look at this, and you get to verse 30, and it's Elijah's turn. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Elijah wanted them to get up close. Hallelujah. He said, come here. So I could see all these people standing back, especially the believers of the prophets of Baal. We already know Elijah's outnumbered. So I can see them. They've seen that Baal didn't answer, and I can just see when it's Elijah's turn, I can see him beginning to scoot back. Because I think they know, hey, if Elijah's God answers, there's going to be a fire right here. So I don't know about you all, but I know if there's going to be a fire, I'm going to scoot back a little bit, right? Elijah says, come here. I want you to get close to the heat, hallelujah, that God's getting ready to sit down. I want to be close to the fire, don't you? And Elijah said, and all the people come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's the first thing that Elijah did. Elijah could have killed the bullock. Elijah could have cut up the bullock. Elijah could have offered up the sacrifice and all these things, but if he would not have repaired the altar of the Lord, God wasn't going to send the fire. Listen this morning, or tonight, it's tonight. Listen tonight. If we want God to send the fire, we need to repair the altar of the Lord. And we are living in a day and a time where a lot of churches have took the altar of the Lord and they've took God's Word and they threw it in a trash can, other words for a better way to say it, and they have desecrated the altar of the Lord. We are living in a time where ministers and preachers have desecrated the altar of the Lord because they refuse to preach God's Word in its entirety and things like that. We are living in a day and a time where the altar of the Lord has been mocked, where the altar of the Lord has been made fun of, where the altar of the Lord has been disrespected, and that's what was going on right here with the prophets of Baal. They were disrespecting the one and true God. But I want to tell you something right now, bless God. I'm thankful that we come to a church that worships the one true God, that worships Jesus Christ and believes in the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that we have a repaired altar, and because we have a repaired altar built in the name of the Lord, God will send down the fire, bless God. It's all because the altar is repaired. So if your altar is not repaired, and when I say altar, an altar is a place where you go and you praise God and you worship God and you offer up a sacrifice to God and things like that. And what I'm talking about is sacrificing your lives to God. You're not going out here and killing a goat for God and offering up on the... We don't do that no more. Our bodies are to be the living sacrifice. If you've got a lot of things in your life that's hindering you from serving God the way you should, you need to ask for forgiveness of that, and you need to repair the altar of the Lord in your life. And when you do, watch out, because the fire's coming. Hallelujah. That's a great place to be in. So he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. So he's clearly building an altar in the name of the Lord. If he'd had 11 stones, there wouldn't have been no fire. If he'd had 11 and 3/4 of a stone, there wouldn't have been no fire. There needed to be 12 stones in order for the fire to come. Got me something else. Don't take no shortcuts on God, because he's going to know about it. Don't take no shortcuts on God. Jacob, unto him the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with these stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. So the altar's built. He's got a stone for each tribe. And then I love his part right here. And he made a trench about the altar. Now we all know what a trench is. It's like a ditch or a ditch line. So he digs this trench around the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, this really stood out to me, fill 4 barrels with water. If you'll remember earlier, I told you they were in a drought at this time, right? Yeah. Ain't it awesome how when you're in a drought, God can provide 4 barrels of water, bless God? That's the type of God that we serve. When you're in a spiritual drought, God can serve you up a spiritual drink of water. Hallelujah. You can be in a desert land, bless God, but God will provide a spiritual drink of water in a desert land, bless God. We serve a God that can do anything tonight. Trench around it. 4 barrels of water, pour it. He says, 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. In other words, drench this altar. Drench the wood, drench the bullock, put water in the trenches. And he said, do it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And this is how much water was in this altar and upon this altar that Jacob had built. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. absolutely drenched. We're probably going to get drenched when we walk outside after church, all right? Absolutely drenched altar. But you know what? The altar may have been soggy, but God was going to deliver the fire. Why? Because it was an altar of the Lord, and it had been built right. Sometimes our altars get soggy in this day and the time that we're living in. And sometimes us as Christians, we get soggy, don't we? It's hard for that fire to be lit. It's hard for that spark to be lit. But are you not thankful, praise God, that God can take a soggy Christian and light the fire right underneath him? Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful picture. So then we get to Elijah's prayer. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, God of Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. And you know what? He heard him. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones. It was such a hot heat that the stones even burned, bless God, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Bless God. It was an altar of the Lord, and all the water that had been poured on it, all the wood that had been put on it, all the meat that had been put on it, all the stones that were put in place, the fire was so hot that there was nothing left of it, bless God, because the altar was prepared for the Lord. If we want God to send the fire in our lives, bless God, we better repair the altar in our life. And we need to make sure that nothing happens to the altar of Liberty Fellowship Church to disrespect it, to do anything against it or anything like it. And what I mean by that is preaching anything that's contrary to the will of God, going against the will of God, going against the Holy Spirit and things like that. That's what I mean by when I say that. Because I tell you right now, as long as we've got an altar in this church that's dedicated to the Lord, God will send down the fire. He'll send down the fire in our church, and He'll send down the fire in each and every one of our individual lives. I don't have any doubt about that, all right? That's all that God laid on our hearts and on our minds tonight. I hope you all got something out of that. I've enjoyed preaching to you all the last 2 weeks, but I'm ready for our pastor to be back, all right? It's been a while since I've preached this much, and my stamina is a little low, okay? So I'm ready for Dan to be back, and I know he's missed you all. And so don't forget about Wednesday night. I don't know what's going to happen with church Wednesday night since I heard Tom say something about a funeral.
No, that's just me individually.
Okay. Church will be in Wednesday night. So don't forget about church Wednesday night, and don't forget about church Sunday morning, okay? We had a baby shower here Saturday for Logan and Riley. There was a lot of gifts that were dropped off. That's great. But there's food over there left over from the baby shower. They've already got it set up. So if you want to go over there and grab you something to eat, you're welcome to do that. If you want to go over there and put it in the go box and leave, that's fine. So everybody's welcome to go over to Fellowship Hall and get leftovers. And just to stress, they are leftovers from yesterday, not 4 or 5 weeks ago, okay? So they're still good, all right? Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer.